You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast, the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open Round 1 Recap, and joining me from the dock, Kyle Porter. KP, what's up, my man?
From the dock. It's just living the lake life. Hey, yeah, I've got a so the other day we're sitting out here. I'm just hanging out on the dock, and all of a sudden, and this is very relevant to the Shriners, what we're about to talk about, I see an eagle fly in to this area where we are and just land in a tree. And I'm going, what? I don't think I've ever seen an eagle before. And wow. I call the kids and the wife out. And my wife's like, come on, are you sure it's not like a pigeon? I'm like, well, I think I know the difference between an eagle and a pigeon. And sure enough, this eagle just sits up there. It's eating fish up in the tree. I mean, it was insane. I've never experienced anything like that. It was very cool. And I'll let you segue that into what we're talking about with Bryson.
Yeah, that was very professional. Hopefully I don't mess it up too much. But we had another National Geographic episode on the golf course today where Bryson DeChambeau had 5 eagle putts. Now, he didn't make any of them. I mean, what's going on with his putting, right? Well, he shot 9 under par, 62 today. Kyle, I mean, did you expect anything different at this point?
You know, it's funny because I feel like like what he's doing is so unusual that, you know, the way that we kind of talked about it, even leading into this event, you think it's going to work, but then you're like, oh yeah, of course he shot 62. Like if he putts at all, he's going to shoot 62, 63, 64. And he putted it really well. I know he didn't make any of those eagle putts, but he actually made some, he made a lot of putts on, I think he gained 2.5, something like that, strokes with the putter on Thursday. And when that happens, it's just going to be, I mean, we can get into the numbers, but the way he's hitting it off the tee, and he does the thing where he's like, oh yeah, I hit some thin, they were kind of heely thin. And you're like, what the hell? Like you hit it, you averaged 350 off the tee. Like, what are you talking about? But he's just so dominant. And he told us he was going to do this, right? He said, I'm going to try to drive 4 of the par 4s. I think he ended up driving 2 of them, came up short on 2 of the others, or he didn't try on number 1, I don't think. But you know, he drives 7. It was like 360. He's got a 14-foot eagle putt. So it's just kind of the stuff that he's telling us he's going to do. And then he goes and does it.
It's so impressive. He is basically just eliminating the importance of the iron play. Iron play is completely different for him. It's become the equivalent of fairway wood play for somebody else, right? He uses his irons to reach, and these are mid to short irons, to reach par 5s. The long par 3s, 200-yard par 3s, he's hitting 9 irons, 8 irons, right? So that is a huge advantage. It's a his clubhead speed right now is a force multiplier, and it affects every part of his game in a largely positive way. And the thing that always impresses me, continues to impress me, it's his putting. He gained 2.72 strokes gained on the field today. So extremely impressive. And I think, I mean, can anybody beat him, Kyle? Realistically, he's leading the tournament. Can anybody catch him in 3 rounds?
You know, I just don't know if they will. Like, I think – some of this, and I'm curious about your take on this. So I was watching his back 9 on Thursday morning or Thursday around lunchtime, and the second hole on the course, his 11th hole on the day, he has to hit a provisional because he yanks it out to the left. It's kind of up in the rocks, and he makes par from there. He ends up finding his first ball. He makes par from there. And I just wonder, like, It feels like we so rarely see him hit bad tee shots. I mean, the dispersion is going to be like, there's going to be more variety because it's so much farther out. Like if you're off at all, it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be sprayed a little bit more than a normal guy. But is there a scenario in which, like, are you going into these rounds thinking like, oh, I don't know, like how accurate he's going to be off the tee today? You're not, right?
No, it's not a concern at all. And his fairways, real quick, I know we're up against it here, but his fairways are not just the width of the fairways. His fairways are the width of the trees. He plays between the trees. Anything between the trees for him works because of the club he's going to have into the green. And with rough this week, I mean, it, anywhere on grass is completely fine for him. Yeah. And he really is quite accurate, especially at his length. It's been amazing. So I definitely don't see Bryson falling this week, which leads us to our risers and fallers segment here. Kyle, who would be your number one riser? Hard for Bryson to rise up the leaderboard when you're already in first. Who are you looking at today to really make a move going forward?
Yeah, so the stat, we were kind of talking about this before we started taping, the stat that we love to look at on this is Strokes gained tee to green, who maybe didn't score that well because they didn't putt. And this is where you might find Bryson over the next few days. Like, he might go out on Friday, gain another 3 strokes off the tee, but he might shoot a 68 or a 70 because he didn't putt it. And on Thursday, that guy was Camilo Villegas, somebody who played great last week. Hit it really well, tee to green on Thursday, but didn't make any putts. I think producer Jacob said he lost like 2 strokes on the greens with his putter. So I love guys like that, that are not only does he have one round in the bag of hitting it well, but he played awesome last week. One of his best tournaments in a while. Obviously, he's been going through just a horrible year personally with the loss of his child. But I like the way he's playing. I like that he didn't putt it that great on Thursday. I think he has something in the mid-60s on Friday.
I hope, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but there's very few players on the PGA Tour. In fact, I would say no players on the PGA Tour I'm rooting for more than Camilo Villegas so far this year. So I think that's a great pick. The guy for me, the riser for me, is Colin Morikawa. He shot 200 today, and you look at his numbers. He lost 1.3 off the tee, 130th in strokes gained off the tee. Very unlike him. He was himself on the approaching the green, gained a shot and a half, but then he lost nearly 2 putting, 130th there. I think he gets a couple of putts to fall, and the iron play starts to get going a little bit more. That's kind of his bad round with the iron play. I think that's going to improve, and you're going to see him make a bunch of birdies tomorrow. Kyle, is there a guy that you're looking at saying, oh, stay away from, somebody in the model that you really are a little bit worried about?
Austin Cook and Harold Varner are T2. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. They're 8 under.
Did anybody else join them in the afternoon? I didn't finish the afternoon.
You have Scott Harrington at 8 under as well.
I think Cook, I mean, he's somebody who I like him, but if you're looking at between him and Varner, Varner's tee to green game is just a lot better. But Harold Varner's tee to green game is really good.
It is. I was looking at
his numbers from 2019-20, and he's a lot higher up in terms of ball striking than maybe you would think. He's not a huge guy. He doesn't you don't think about him when you think about like huge drivers or anything like that, but his numbers from tee to green are super impressive. So I would, out of that group that's at the top, I would probably go with Austin Cook.
Yeah, I think that's a fair choice. I'm going to go with a guy that's a little bit lower down the list. He's in tied 12th, Brian Harman, who's at 6 under par. And I look at Brian Harman as a guy, he's accurate, but he doesn't make a ton of birdies. And in order for him to make a ton of birdies, he has to have a great putting day. He did today. He gained nearly 3 shots putting. And I look at his other numbers, and he lost off the tee. He barely gained approaching the green, and he almost gained a whole shot around the green. And that, to me, is something that it's a little bit too lenient on the putter. So I look at Brian Harman as a guy, especially at the distance he hits it. It's not like he's going to have 4 eagle putts or 5 eagle putts in a round. He may have 2 if he hits great shots. So it's more likely to be none. So I look at Brian Harman as a guy that I think is gonna fade heading into tomorrow.
Hey, what do you think, guys like Harman? And I was watching Morikawa today, and I'm like, what is he thinking when he sees Bryson out there doing some of this stuff? Like what? Like I don't know how you stay in your, like, I don't know how you kind of stay in your lane if you're a Brian Harman and don't think like, how am I ever going to win a golf tournament?
If you're Brian Harman, you found yourself in the middle of no man's land in a very strange way, because you're so far along. I had a conversation with Brendan Todd recently, and this is basically what he said. Look, I'm 35. I've been to where you have no game. I've lost my game. I've built it back. I can't go chase distance right now at this age. I have to play the best I can with what I have right now, because I don't have the time. I don't have the luxury of going and putting on 40 pounds and bulking up speed. So for a Brian Harman, I imagine he's in a very similar situation. Morikawa is interesting. He has so much time that he's got to look not just at Bryson, but at Matthew Wolf and some of these other players and say, look, if there's another generation, if the next wave of college kids comes in and pushes the bar even farther, I turn into a short neck giraffe very quickly. I can compete now, but is this career, how long does this career last with my current style of play? And I think Colin Morikawa is going to have to increase his speed a little bit. I really do. Not that he has to turn into a bomber. You don't have to change your style. You just have to make sure that your speed can continue to grow. So you can kind of, it's like inflation. You got to keep up with inflation, and otherwise you're losing. If you're not gaining, you're losing. So I really think Bryson is setting an interesting bar.
Yeah. That's what I don't love about some of the Bryson stuff is I don't want it to turn into this, like, okay, well, who's going to, you know, can Rory hit 200 with the, you know, on his ball? Like what? Like, I love Colin Morikawa's game, and I don't want, of all people, for somebody like Colin Morikawa to have to be like, well, I gotta ratchet it up so that I'm averaging 330 off the tee. That just, I don't know. I feel like I'm the one that keeps going like all Nick Saban, like, is this what we want golf to be? And I just don't know that it is. And so, I'm beating the drum on this. People are kind of hollering at me a little bit on Twitter of like, hey, I don't think other people care about this as much as you. Which is true. Like, I care about it more than probably the average golf fan, but I just feel like it's a big deal. And maybe it's not, but it does feel that way right now, especially after watching Bryson go out and shoot 60, back up his US Open win with the 62 on Thursday.
Yeah, he feels a little bit unbeatable right now, but this is a fascinating game, and we've only seen really two players in the history sustain at a level where they were unbeatable for a really long period of time, and Tiger and Jack. I mean, everybody else seemed to have a chink in the armor. Does Bryson have a chink in the armor? Well, he's got a long way to go at this level to prove that he's amongst that group. But speaking of Bryson, he is a member of the featured group tomorrow. And I want to get some picks for our featured group PGA Tour Live tomorrow. So we have Bryson, Cameron Champ, and Matthew Wolf. These guys are all setting the bar, which is a fascinating group. I don't have any odds right now at the time of taping, but you have to imagine Bryson's going to be a heavy favorite. Who do you like in that group, Bryson, Champ, or Wolf?
Yeah, I watched this group again quite a bit on Thursday. But they're all super fun. They just have such unique swings. Champ's flight off the tee is a joke. Wolf's swing is obviously well documented. I like, in a group like this, I like to take the guy that was that didn't maybe play as great as the other guys, because I think that, and I'll go with Wolf. I don't think Cameron Champ was 4 under, Bryson 9 under. I think Wolf finished 2 or 3, something like three. Under. Three. Okay, so I'll go with Wolf here. I think he's a better putter than people think he is. So I'll say he wins out of that threesome tomorrow.
You know, I'm going to agree with you. I was between him and Bryson. I don't have a ton of confidence in Cam Champ right now, even though it was a great round today. But I do have a lot of confidence in Matthew Wolf. And I think there's a competitive, you know, it's a little bit of a rematch. And I'm fascinated to see how Matthew Wolf handles Bryson again. How often can you get beat by this guy? It's not like Bryson has an advantage. It's not like he has anything you don't, right? His physical size doesn't affect Matthew Wolf. He hits it just as far as him. So these two are playing the same game or a very similar game. And I'm interested to see if Matthew Wolf kind of grits his teeth and goes out there and get him. I'm going to say he does it. So I'm going to agree with you. Our next featured group, we have Colin Morikawa, Webb Simpson, Joaquin Neiman. Real quick, Kyle, who do you like?
I'll go with Webb. I didn't love what I saw out of the other two today. Neiman hit a couple of just weird shots that didn't look like his normal self. Webb looked pretty locked in. I don't know where he finished, 4 or 5, I think, something like that. So I'll say he gets it done again tomorrow.
I'm going to go. I love Webb, and I think Webb's really going to crank it up a notch. But I think Colin Morikawa is as well, as he is my biggest riser heading into tomorrow. It's hard for me to say Webb's going to beat him tomorrow. So I'm going to go with Morikawa, but I think a great day for Webb as well.
Yeah. That's right, a fun group, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Really fun group. And both those featured groups, you have very different styles. A little bit more of a classic style. And a little bit more of a modern style. Very, very interesting to watch. So I know we'll be tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the first round of the Shriners Hospital for Children's Open. And I hope you enjoyed the first round recap right here on the First Cut. We'll be with you tomorrow. It'll be Rick Run, Good, and I. And hey, we'll see you then.
Hello everyone, it's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.